I want to start with a little picture. I don't know if Mike has it up there or Sean, and it's okay if it's not up there, but C.S. Lewis has this great quote that the homemaker, and this is language from, you know, I don't even know what year, 50s, 60s, the homemaker has the ultimate career. All other careers exist for one purpose only, and that's to support the ultimate career. And so what we're doing this morning is we are supporting the ultimate career. Like in terms of, and that doesn't just say parents, that's in terms of passing on our faith, right? Raising these kids up, it does not just call parents. It calls us as a community. And so I love that. We need to cheer parents on. We need to support them and bless them. And we're going to look this morning at four verses. So it's not going to be hard to keep you engaged because these are four amazing verses in Scripture. And I want to just give you a bit of context here because I believe that it's really going to help us go forward, and it helps parents sort of have handles. Like, how do we do this? Like, how do I remember actually when I had my first, Mike's mom is here, Nettie, and she said the most amazing thing to me the week I had my first daughter, Michaela. She said, "This is the most natural thing in the world. Don't worry about it. Like, you'll be fine." And I was just like, oh, I needed to hear that. I never forgot those words. It was just so powerful to me. And we want to just support our parents today. And one thing that Moses did, so in Deuteronomy 6, there's four verses that we're going to look at that for some of us, they're very familiar verses. Others of us, maybe we're hearing them for the first time today. But I want to give you a bit of context. So we talked this morning in worship, Sherry and Paul and the worship band led us through like just a beautiful time of understanding lament and joy. And one thing that happened with the Israelites is a lot of us know that they wandered for 40 years. They were in a desert. But the really beautiful thing is they were really aware of God's presence. And so some of you may think of a hard time in your life. You know, just take a moment and think of that hard time. Maybe it's right now. I just love to ask you the question, are you experiencing God in that hard time? Are you aware of His presence? Because one thing we notice with the Israelites is that, so they were wandering for 40 years. They were nomads traveling around, but they would have had tangible reminders of God's presence. So they would have had the manna in, the, you know, to eat. They didn't, you know, there's no Costco, right? It's manna. And they would have had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But Moses knew they were leaving that. He knew they were leaving that. And so he's giving a speech here to the Israelites. And we're going to just look at four verses that he says. But further on from the verses, he says, you know, soon you're going to be in Canaan. You're going to be in the promised land. You're going to be in houses you didn't build. You're going to have stuff coming out of whatever. You're going to be distracted. And similarly to some of us in our lives, when we get out of our wilderness, we're fine. We're fine. Like, we don't need God in the way we did in that dark time, right? And that's what Moses was saying here. So you're going to hear some of his desperation because he knew that God's people, they were about to leave their desperation and they were going to be filled with stuff. And I know what it's like for me when I feel like I'm good, I'm fine. I don't need God in the same way as when I'm desperate. So Moses is commissioning the village here. And in verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel." And so what I love about child dedications is that Moses is about to explain to the Israelites how to keep their faith going on to the next generation. So he's about to do that. We're going to look at that scripture. But he says, "Hear, O Israel." And so if we looked around us today, like, not all of us are parents. Some of us are, we've raised our kids. Others of us don't have kids. Some of us are single. Some of us are youth. Moses would have been talking to the village like this morning. So we could imagine Moses saying, "Hear, O WCV." As funny as that sounds, Moses could have been saying that. And we can hear that this morning because Jesus is talking to all of us. Right? His Spirit is instructing us all the time. And Moses said this because he knew that it would take multiple influences to guard the faith of this generation. He was desperate. And so we can hear the desperation when he says, "Hear, O Israel." He's talking to the village. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And make him your everything." verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So that love relationship that we were singing about this morning, pass that on. That's what he's saying here. Like, your love relationship, don't ever forget this. In verse 6, he says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. And Moses is about to get into some details about how do we do this? How do we pass on this love relationship? How do we pass it on to others? Verse 7, so Moses goes into detail and he instructs his people. And he says, impress them on your children. And impress in Hebrew means to sharpen. It means to pierce. And here's the really interesting thing for teachers in the crowd. It means teach in a way that actual learning takes place. So you don't just present your material and walk away, right? Like, here's my story, see you later. Let's be relentless about this. Like in a good way. Share it. Share your journey. Impress it on your children. Pierce, sharpen, adapt, and refine it. You know that teachers, like resource teachers, like I'm thinking about Gloria and Sherry and others, that they're gonna try to find the key to unlock the mystery in each child, right? That's what that's talking about here. Shape and refine, so actual learning takes place, right? Be creative. It's not a cookie cutter thing that Moses is saying. And then he goes on to say, so how do we do that? Like, when do we do that? Like, life is full and it's busy and they're about to go to Canaan and we're busy in our lives, some of us, and others of us, there's the pain of we wish we were more busy, right? There's lots of different angles. But Moses says, and this is familiar for a lot of us, he says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So the beauty of what Moses is saying there is for us, I feel, today, is that he's setting in motion something so strategic because it's transferable from culture and time. Because everyone around the world, even though it's different times, like Australia, they're sleeping right now, but everyone gets up with the day, and they share a meal, and they walk about during the day, and they go down with the sun, they sleep with the sun. It's the pattern of life. So Moses is highlighting these patterns as opportunities for sharing your story. And I'm just going to say quickly 4 points because I want to hand this over to Joseph. But I love this. As a parent, I remember sort of stumbling across Deuteronomy 6 going, oh my goodness, like this is awesome. And there's handouts in your bulletin as reminders about, like, let's use those opportunities. I get lazy as a parent. Like, hello, I feel like the fourth kid. Sorry, Sam, but I feel like sometimes Mike and I have to go, hold on, like we still have a 15-year-old. Like, let's spend some time with them, or like, let's all get off our gadgets, you know? So it's not easy, right? But Moses is saying, use the time. Like, when you get in your car, talk about your love relationship. Do your kids know your habits? Do they know when you love to spend time in the Word? Do they know when you pray? Share that. So 4 points quickly before I hand this over to Joseph is, fight for your children's love for the Lord, not rules, right? Your love for the Lord. Fight for that. I remember one summer going, Mike and I just were stressed out because we felt like, and many of you are going to relate to me, but we just felt like one of our kids, and I'm not doing any giveaways, but was taking a path that I just didn't feel comfortable with. It just was like, not happy with this. And I remember sitting down with that child and just saying, here's your options. Like, I'll throw money at any one of these things, but I want you to be, I feel like you're made to be a leader. And here's ways you can grow as a leader. And can you choose one of them? And this child did, and it was awesome. But be relentless. Like, let's just be relentless in that. And let's ask the Lord, what are the keys to unlock? Like, that wouldn't have worked for all my other kids, right? Like, that was just in that moment at that time. And Not that those things always work, but let's keep asking and be on our knees as parents, as people who are investing in younger folks. Fight for their love for the Lord. Two, make it personal. So what I love about this is Andy shared a little bit about Suhail being on a panel at SVS, Society of Vineyard Scholars, this week. And one thing Suhail said that I was like, oh, that's gold. He said a lot of things that were gold. And so I hope you can listen to this online. But he said, you know, when we think of sharing our faith with others, like, it's not like here's everything I know about God. It's sharing, like, how we've experienced God, right? Share how you've experienced God, because that's what's going to be personal and real, and that's, I believe, what Moses is talking about. And two Sundays ago, we had Paul and Sherry in the comfy couch room, and that's what they did with our youth. And wasn't that awesome, you guys? Like, yeah, see? It was awesome. And what that was sharing their story. How have they met Jesus? How have they followed him in their adult life? How do we do this? How do we do this together? And it takes a village. So that's what Moses is saying. And then, third point is, so when do we do this? Well, we use the rhythms that are set in motion for human beings on planet Earth. And we use these rhythms. And I remember 15 years ago, you know, the rhythms of tucking our kids to bed. And I remember there was one season where we bought a new house. It was a 100-year-old house. And we bought a 1970 trailer. But to our kids, that was like brand new. They didn't know then that it was kind of junky. And then we had a used van, and we were expecting a baby. And so every night, they would thank God for this house, the van, the trailer, and the baby. And I felt like that went on for 2 years until Sam started taking up some airtime. And then the prayers, you know, they shifted a little bit, right? Because sibling rivalry sets in. But those are precious times, you know? Like, use those times. Thank God for that 1970 trailer, whatever it is. But that's going to instill hope and thankfulness in our kids. And fourth and last point, and something that we did this morning and that Joseph's going to share a little bit, is widen the circle. And so often, I think as communities and as families, we're just so independent, right? Like, we don't need our neighbors unless you share a driveway like we do, and then we need each other to move our vehicles and stuff. But, like, often we don't need each other. And so Moses is really being clear here that, no, we do need each other, and we need to widen the circle before our kids need that circle widened, because you want that circle for when they need that circle. And statistics show, like, if your kids, if you want them to keep loving Jesus, like, we need a village. We need a wider circle. And that's some of the beauty that Joseph just experienced at YWAM, and he's going to share with us. So 4 points, and we're going to have stuff in our bulletins about that. But Joseph, come on up.